Hello, everybody. Welcome back to North Idaho Now. This is episode 118. That's 118 or 118 for those who don't know the terminology. This episode is brought to you by Black Sheep Sporting Goods, home of the lowest prices on all things outdoor since 1975. Black Sheep Sporting Goods is your one-stop shop for all your camping, fishing, hunting, and clothing needs. Open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Check out Black Sheep's new location in the Silver Lake Mall. You know, I'm really happy they've, like, brought that place back to life.
I am too. You know, I went there to do some Christmas shopping, and it actually...
But you could actually go there for Christmas shopping.
Exactly, which was so nice. And yeah, there were, I mean, it was, it felt, exactly, yeah. Life was brought back yeah. into the Silver
When I was
Lake
in, like, middle
Mall.
School, it was, like, this sad, like...
Right.
Dystopian 90s, looked like a horror movie could be shot there.
Exactly.
People
yeah,
sleeping.
Yeah, there's, like, no one really there. Yeah.
Yeah.
People sleeping on
people
benches.
People sleeping in the side. Yeah. It's,
yeah.
It's not good. Yeah. You should also be sure to check out www.blacksheepidaho.com and receive free shipping on orders over $100. Not hard to do at Black Sheep Sporting Goods. Black Sheep Sporting Goods, celebrating 45 years as your favorite sporting goods store. That wasn't a shot at them being expensive. They just have a lot of stuff.
They do. They do have a lot of
you
stuff.
You could literally, like,
I mean,
it's, I know it's a sporting goods store, and on the surface, that's like the rugged outdoorsman or like a shit. But you
right.
walk in there,
no,
they've got everything.
They really do.
They have a little
bit
of everything.
They have like squishmallows.
Yeah.
They have the little stuffed animals. So go to
the clothing stuff is
go
good
to Black
too.
Sheep for your squishmallows.
There you go. if you haven't picked up on it, Chance Watson and
oh,
Molly Roberts.
Hi, hello everyone.
Coming to you guys today. We're gonna really try this here. Molly, the Zags lost.
Oh. Not an upset.
Dang it.
Dang it,
Damn,
the Zags lost.
Basketball.
To Duke, I think?
Arkansas.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
But we're supposed to hate Duke.
Right.
Yeah.
Duke.
Couldn't tell you where they're
yeah.
from.
Two of the biggest sports fans here,
yeah,
I think
well.
We have. I have been mad this March for March Madness.
I am so mad
I am
for
just
March
glued
Madness.
To my television.
Yeah. We actually did watch the Gonzaga game.
We did.
With our part-time co-host Josh McDonald, who takes a very sick pleasure in watching Gonzaga fans be sad.
Yep, yes he does.
He's not necessarily
he
a Arkansas
overjoyed.
Yes.
No, he's
he's not an Arkansas fan, he's just an anti-Gonzaga fan. So he had a good day today. I know most people in the Inland Northwest are not
no.
that care about such a thing. So I'm sorry. I don't, as somebody who grew up here, I just never, I'm not a basketball fan, so I never, and as far as I'm aware, Gonzaga really only has a basketball team that's, you
True.
Know, like
right.
major,
that,
they don't do
right,
football that. Or anything like that. So, yeah, and that's in basketball just off my radar. Grew up playing hockey, so.
Yeah. Chance was a hockey guy.
I was a hockey guy, and Molly.
I did grow up playing basketball. My dad was a basketball coach.
Okay.
However, then I reached an age.
What hasn't he done?
Oh my gosh, my father can do most things.
Yeah,
yes.
I believe it.
He truly.
I truly believe it.
Yeah,
he's
Paul
a man
Roberts,
of many talents.
Man of many talents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, he coached basketball. He and. But yeah, I think the last time I cared about basketball was in middle school when I realized that I didn't like running around the gym.
Right.
And coaches don't like it when you say, no, I'm not going to do
no,
this
I'm not
anymore.
Gonna do that. No. Yeah.
I was like, no, I think I've run enough.
It's
and they're like,
upon.
No, you need to keep going.
No, I'm not doing that anymore.
No, I'm actually finished. Coaches don't like
okay.
that. So I realized that my personality doesn't really mesh well.
And that's, you know what? That's a very common, like, middle school. Like, you're in middle school. You already don't want to do things in general.
Exactly.
Like, you don't want to be told to do anything.
No.
Like,
and then
if
to
you
be
tell
told
me to do something.
Run? Absolutely not.
Like one of my favorite sayings, like in regards to like effort, is I'm not asking you to do push-ups.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, they were asking you to do push-ups.
They were, yes.
And it's just especially when you're a middle schooler, you just don't.
No.
You don't
no.
take
there was already
well.
Things that I was doing in my life that I didn't want to do. I think it was like one more thing that I no, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll just play video games all the
yeah.
time.
Yeah, I played a lot of video games.
But then I did get into, like, band drama. Okay. It's a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah, there's not a lot of running in band or drama.
No, there's not. And a little bit of running in hockey, but more skating.
True, but more skating. There is a difference between skating and running. I would much rather skate than run.
Yeah.
What am I running from? Who's chasing me? Where if you're skating, it's like, oh, there's a purpose.
Could be a horror movie.
If my middle school coach dressed up as a horror character and chased me, I probably would be a basketball star right now.
Now that's an idea for the next horror film. A gym coach that's chasing around his victims.
Just to motivate them. Yeah. He lost his – he's like, I'm tired of these kids telling me no.
Yep.
Absolutely not. I'm going to give them a reason to run.
Like the kids, I'm going to paint a picture for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got middle schoolers and they're just hanging out.
Yep.
You know, they're supposed to be middle schoolers, but
they're like 30.
They're like 30 years old.
Yeah.
We have the stereotypical horror movie cast.
Yeah.
Everybody's
there.
Yeah.
Everyone's
the bleach blonde. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
They're like hot 30 year olds, but they're supposed to be in middle school.
They're supposed to be in middle school. Yeah. And then you've got the you don't hear them at first. Like, they're talking. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, PE was just the worst today, guys. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like, you hear a whistle, like, in the distance. Like, what was that? Did you guys hear that? It was weird. And then it gets closer, but comes from a different angle.
I love this.
This is good.
This is good.
This is really
Hollywood,
solid.
We're giving you another idea.
This could be, we could make some money on this. Trademark right now.
Trademark. Yeah. No one else steal it. Never mind. Working, Hollywood.
We don't have a title yet. Working title for this film, but I could see this working.
It could just be called Run.
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 Run. Okay. I like that.
Simple.
I could get behind that.
Mm-hmm.
So for the folks that did run and appreciate the folks
yes,
that do
you know
run,
what? I do have, you know, I talk a lot of smack on sports stuff, but.
Talking sport, I appreciate sports. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because sports is that one thing that we should get like illogically hard opinions on. Like nowadays we have way too hard opinions on like politics and everything like that where you're not open to listening to the other side,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. Sport, that's what sports is for. Like you are like I am a diehard Red Wings fan and it doesn't matter what the team does.
I'm going to be a
fan. And like even you know the owner does something because that happens in sports. Owners aren't necessarily the greatest people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they do something terrible, you're like, oh, the team's going to move through this, and you know. Like that's you're illogically just a fan.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Like
yes.
That's just how it is. So mm-hmm. and I think that's a great outlet for that.
True.
Where you can just like illogically root for your team and chant against another team.
Yes.
For no reason.
Right.
Like there's no you know what? My dad brought this point up a long time ago. Think about it. Like all these teams are named after cities. So like, you know, the Seattle mm-hmm. Kraken or the Gonzaga, you know, like it's from Spokane and that kind of thing. Yet these players are not from these cities.
I never
thought about that before.
That's true.
Like none of these players are actually from the cities that they play for.
Right.
And that is an interesting concept. Yeah.
Yeah, because it is so gung-ho like for the city. Like yeah. Go yeah, Chicago! Go Chicago! Yeah, yeah, but it's like...
Especially like in hockey, like when most of the players are not from the United States,
mm-hmm.
yet like they're playing for like Columbus. Oh, I love Columbus. Like, aren't you from like Denmark?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is an interesting aspect.
Like it should, like sports, like it'd be interesting to see like a league where like you play just like if you're from there, like you have to, you gotta like
sure.
the teams are like, okay, this is truly like the team from Spokane is better than the team from, you know, because the athletes are from that town.
Right.
That makes... Like kind of like the like high school sports,
and that's what
I
was just thinking.
Yeah,
exactly. Like we just
sense.
Had that All-Star game
yep,
where we
yep.
had a lot
yep.
of North Idaho
yep.
teams playing against each other.
Yep.
Yeah.
We did watch the Gonzaga game.
Yeah.
Sorry about
I
that, Zags fans.
Heated.
Yeah. It was we were really, really, really into it.
Yeah. Ooh.
I think you and I were
eyes
honestly,
were glued.
I think you and I were honestly talking about video games, but
probably. I mean, we just tried to talk about sports, and we've devolved into writing a horror film.
I mean,
which a good idea for a horror
idea,
film.
Honestly.
It's a really good idea.
I think somebody should probably we should probably Google this before we try to trademark it. Horror.
Oh,
and horror
make sure.
film with Jim Coach.
Yeah, I do not think, as someone who has watched a lot of horror films, I think we might be okay.
The only thing that I've got is something that's coming up called Mrs. Man.
Okay, I don't think...
Mrs. Man is a character in the first Scary Movie. So
no, we don't have to worry about Mrs. Man.
No, I don't think
so. In fact, maybe let's stop talking. I don't know that Miss Man
I think
is...
if I keep Googling this, we're gonna go down a wrong avenue.
I believe so. We talked about this recently. The spoof movies are difficult to do in this time.
Especially spoof horror films, where it's more of,
a lot of poking fun at everything.
Yeah, and certain scenes you could probably argue that they should be on Cinemax instead.
What is this, Horror High? Oh, wait a second. The whimsical, melancholy music. Oh, my goodness.
Did you find a horror musical in high school?
I believe so.
It's like a Glee thing, but horror film?
Kind of. Horror High, 1974. Take the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, then transplant it into a high school in Texas with a nerdy kid killing his oppressors. So we're still good, a nerdy kid.
Okay. All right.
And there's music, yeah.
And
of course.
There's got to be. Yeah, it has to be.
Wait, I'm sorry. The villain is...
I feel like we're crossing a lot of genres right now with that movie.
We are. It can also be a sports film.
It's genre bending.
It's a genre bending film.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I think we have to start writing the script right now.
I do. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
Run is good. That's a working title.
It's a working title. Right. We can
We'll start on the screenplay after the show.
Yeah, right after the show.
Immediately. So we'll even do it on the old-timey typewriter next to Molly.
Oh, perfect. You know what? And, yeah, we've got some big articles, some big publications coming up.
We're just going to push those to the
side.
We're
going to push them.
And work on our screenplay.
I think this is more important.
This is like our version of just like really investing in our band.
Exactly. Yeah.
We don't need to work anymore.
No, I'm going to put my focus towards script writing, specifically this script.
I guess the more modern equivalent would be I'm going to focus on my rap game.
Okay. I also want to work on my rap career. So MC Smalls coming at you.
You've already thought about
obviously.
Well, so now MC Smalls has to be a character in Run.
In Run.
Like Run, you know MC Smalls is getting killed.
Oh, yeah, unfortunately.
Like MC Smalls is not making it to the credits.
No.
There's no way.
I personally would probably not make it to the credits in a horror movie, so that's understandable. In fact, once too much chaos, I'd be just like, I don't, absolutely not. Wait, you want me to run from you?
Right.
Okay. But also, even that, see, and this is the whole point, as we talked about, that would be my motivation. Thinking about it, I don't know.
There's a lot of horror movie cliches. Like, you could play on, like, when he wants to chase them, like, into the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, put on your shorts!
Dress down!
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you don't, anybody who's wearing long pants gets stabbed.
When he's stabbed, you didn't dress down. Yeah. Stab.
Yep. I can see this.
Oh, man. Yeah, and he just always has the whistle. That's how you know he's coming.
Always. Mm-hmm. That's his calling card.
Because you could also have some sort of soundtrack with the whistle.
Yep.
So, yeah, Zag's lost. Really sad.
Zag's lost. Sorry about that.
I am. My Aunt Christy is a very big Zag's fan, and I know
a lot of Zag's fans. I wish I cared more. The one school that I would have some sort of any affiliation toward is University of Idaho, and their basketball team's not making that anytime soon.
No.
As far as I'm aware, again, I just know that they're not good. So, unfortunately. But other than that, yeah, it's not something that's terribly on my radar, I guess.
No, not on my radar necessarily. Although I did see
a deleted scene from Batman.
Yes, with the Joker.
Where they showed more of the Joker, which I recommend. We won't go too into that.
No, we've talked about Batman.
So much Batman, but you guys should check it out. It's a good scene.
It is a good scene.
It's very, very Hannibal Lecter-esque, where Clarice goes and talks to Hannibal. I mean, I don't think he did that. He didn't do that.
Batman, unfortunately, did not do the...
or the Joker.
No, He
did do some maniacal laughing, though.
There was a lot of maniacal laughing.
He was.
You gotta have maniacal laughing with the Joker.
That's
his thing.
That makes absolute sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right, are we ready to go into some news?
I think so, after our sports talk.
Yeah, we could probably do that. Hecla Mining Company is a leading low-cost silver producer with operating silver mines in Alaska, Idaho, and Mexico, and is a growing gold producer with operating mines in Quebec, Canada, and Nevada. They are the largest primary silver producer in the U.S., responsible for one-third of silver produced in our nation. Their philosophy is to operate mines safely by promoting a deeply rooted, value-based culture, leveraging mining skills developed over the company's long history, and by innovating new practices. To learn more about Hecla Mining Company, please visit heclamining.com. That takes us into Coeur d'Alene Post Falls Press headlines, Wednesday, March 23rd. Headline, Ground Zero. This by Bill Beale. For the first time in nearly 2 years, as of Sunday, Kootenai Health has zero COVID-19 patients in critical care. It's like Josh said, yep, we're done with it. He said it in the last episode. We're sick of it. Mm-hmm. We're over it. And then COVID was like, okay, I'll go away now.
Right.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
Zero COVID-19 patients in critical care, which is good, said Dr. Robert Scoggins. Quote, in my group was excited about that, he said Tuesday in a phone interview with the press. Kootenai Health is back to its normal 26-bed ICU for the first time since June of 2020. It had about 15 COVID-related patients Tuesday. That's well down from a high of about 150 in October, when it also had more than 40 COVID-19 patients in critical care. While COVID-19 is retreating and life isn't as stressful as it has been since the coronavirus arrived in Idaho in early 2020, it's not back to work as usual as the area's largest hospital. Quote, I wouldn't say it's ever going to return to normal, Scoggins said. A lot of things have changed in the last 2 years. The daily battle at the height of new cases took an extraordinary toll on staff. It's been gut-wrenching for personnel to witness up close and personal what the virus did to people, particularly the elderly. Turnover rose at Kootenai Health as the stress overwhelmed some. While many patients recovered from COVID-19, many died. Deaths in the Panhandle Health District attributed to COVID-19 totaled 933. Total cases are nearly 660,000. Statewide deaths total 4,861, and cases stand at nearly 445,000, according to state website. Kootenai Health cared for thousands of COVID patients. Quote, I don't think anybody is the same after going through this last 2 years, Scoggins said. He made it clear he's pleased with Kootenai Health for how it endured to help those with the disease that hit the respiratory system hard. Quote, very proud of how our hospital responded to the crisis and how we took care of as many patients as we did, Scoggins said. He also said Kootenai Health is de-escalating from the disaster management protocol it's been under for the past 2 years, but staff still wear masks and practice social distancing. It is still receiving new COVID-19 patients of all ages, ill to various degrees. Staff became accustomed to a high volume of patients with a high level of illness. Today, there are ways to mitigate the disease through therapeutics and vaccines easily available. Many infected now have natural immunity. Quote, the mission definitely dropped off, Scoggins said. Hopefully, we'll get to a point where we don't have to do the masks and social distance. While Scoggins wants people to move on with their lives, he doesn't want them to forget about COVID-19, what it did, and what it's still doing today in some areas of the world. It's not gone either. COVID-19 has not followed all the rules of viruses we've seen in the past. It could rebound if another variant emerges and immunity, either from prior infection or vaccines, wanes. Quote, we need to be prepared for that. Yeah, it was definitely going back to the early days. It's not in our, I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you and I are fairly young.
Mm-hmm.
So, but even going back to like even my father's, you know, who's in his 60s, we haven't, this type of, you know, event in, you know, human history hadn't happened probably since the early, you know,
no,
20s.
Exactly.
You know, we haven't had a pandemic
this.
Like that, mm-hmm. where all these, you know, precautions and whatnot came into effect.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, yeah, it was definitely a trial by fire for a lot of people. There are people that I like to shout out. So they mentioned the turnover. One of the people, I'll just give a shout out on the show, Catherine Hoyer with Panhandle mm-hmm. Health District.
Yeah.
She stuck through it through thick and thin. Dealing in the PR position of
anyways.
It's a tough position all in general. And Panhandle Health just doesn't deal with COVID. Like they deal with a lot of other things. So yeah, shout out to her for just sticking with it and mm-hmm. And working hard. She's been on the show a couple times. So, all right, let's move on. Thursday, March 24th. What do we got?
Coeur d'Alene Mayor, come together. Hammond says united front is key to community's future.
Molly, right now.
right now.
Over me.
This is by Bill Bewley.
That's a Beatles reference right there, if you didn't catch it. Right now.
Over me.
It's a good song.
Mayor Jim Hammond on Wednesday said he wants to see a community with less division, more unity, and called on faith leaders to help make it happen. Hammond is asking pastors to encourage the values and the interactions that will promote a welcoming and respectful community. Quote, I need the pastor's help in doing that, end quote. But it must extend beyond Coeur d'Alene city limits and beyond government. Quote, we're all part of North Idaho and Kootenai County, and we must step up to ensure that we are a welcoming and kind community, devoid of discrimination, bigotry, and intolerance. Hammond, who was elected to a 4-year term in November and took office in January, delivered a 20-minute talk to about 200 people at the Coeur d'Alene Regional Chamber of Commerce's luncheon on Wednesday at the Coeur d'Alene Resort. He outlined some of the city's recent successes, like Atlas Waterfront Park, the adoption of a 20-year comprehensive plan, and a reduction in crime. But the former senator, Post Falls mayor, and principal also pointed to challenges. He cited rising house costs, the labor shortage, and disrespectful behavior displayed by some people at a few recent city meetings. What could they be talking about?
People being mean to each other.
People being mean to each other. Cut it out.
Doesn't sound like anything.
I am taking a stance on this podcast. Stop being mean to each other.
Is that Molly's Miss America stance?
That is. I want world peace. Mm-hmm. I want people to stop being mean to each other.
End world hunger. Yep, okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
I know these are tough positions.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night, and good luck.
Okay, so
speaking of,
perfectly segueing into the next one. I'm going to take a breath on this.
Okay, here we go. Doozy.
Community battles over Banducci. Sparks fly at NIC Board of Trustees meeting. Those meetings are always known to be calm and level-headed.
Yeah, sparks flying?
Yeah. This is by both Hannah Neff and Kay Thornbrew. Tensions ran high during a meeting of the North Idaho College Board of Trustees Wednesday night when the community divided between those who support Chair Todd Banducci and those who demanded his resignation. More than 200 people gathered for the meeting, including more than 120 online participants. Hanging in the balance is NIC's accreditation. The recent panel report from the college's accreditation organization, Northwest Commission of Colleges and Universities, listed numerous concerns, some serious enough to suggest NIC should be placed on probation. Trustee Ken Howard said no meetings have been called by the board to address the panel's report findings, calling the inaction shameful. Former Dean of General Studies Larry Briggs, who retired last May 2021, said even in light of the college's response to the NWCCU, NIC will likely be placed on probation soon. Quote, NIC's fall from good standing in less than 2 years is astonishing, Briggs said. The cost of the college's reputation to faculty and staff morale, to students' trust in the future of the college mount by day. Simply put, every program at NIC is damaged by the current situation. Meanwhile, NIC staff have reaffirmed their lack of support for Banducci. The NIC staff passed a resolution Wednesday calling for Banducci to resign immediately from the Board of Trustees. The resolution was drafted by approximately 40 staff members. Faculty passed a resolution on Tuesday that renewed their vote of no confidence in Banducci's ability to serve the college's best interests and called upon him to step down immediately. A total of 86 faculty members voted on the resolution, with 15 people opposing it and 4 abstaining from the vote. Ed Cates, a philosophy instructor at NIC, Mr. Cates's, Professor Cates's philosophy class. Learned a lot in that class. He's a great professor. Said not all faculty were represented in the resolutions passed by the faculty assembly. Few instructors from divisions such as science, automotive, and nursing bother to attend the faculty meetings, he said. Quote, I'm ashamed to say that many of the extremely vocal liberal humanities and social sciences faculty have completely taken over the leadership of the assembly, Kate said. When he says liberal, like he's not meaning like the political spectrum, mm-hmm. like liberal arts and that kind of thing. Yeah. Hayden resident Linda Putz, PUTZ, tried the ongoing issues tired of the tied the ongoing issues, rather, NIC to larger ideological conflicts. Quote, our culture really is going down to good versus evil, progressive versus conservative, personal responsibility versus social justice, she said. At a Hayden City Council meeting last month, Putz described herself as a, quote, white supremacist and described all white supremacists as patriots.
Oh.
Linda sounds like she needs to reevaluate some things
in her
life. I
believe so, yeah.
At Wednesday's meeting, she pointed out a person wearing a mask who appeared to be a reporter with the Sentinel, NIC student newspaper. I also wrote for them. Shout out
to the Sentinel.
Yeah. Quote, did I get that picture okay for you, little Miss Mask Woman? That's not even clever.
Little Miss Mask Woman. Okay.
Not even a clever.
I'd be more confused than anything. Right.
Yeah. Some in the audience raised their voices in disagreement as Putz called out the student reporter for taking a photo while Putz spoke. In response, Banducci told the crowd to refrain from speaking. Krista Hazel, an NIC graduate and the director of the nonprofit Save NIC, called on Banducci to resign. After Hazel spoke, Banducci tried to end public comment, but was suggested by the college attorney to allow the rest of the people signed up to speak. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Former NIC president Joe Dunlap said the only solution to the college's problem is a change in leadership. He urged the board to find a compromise and agree on a fifth trustee or tender a resignation. And Aaron Barnard, who publishes the Kootenai County Spectator, spoke in support of Banducci and handed the trustees each a stack of letters signed by Banducci's supporters. Sherry Williams, a Coeur d'Alene resident who ran unsuccessfully for the Idaho Senate District 4 seat in 2020, presented Banducci with a stack of 1,000 index cards from community members who wrote asking Banducci and fellow trustee Greg McKenzie to resign. Interim President Michael Sabali, amid the uncertainty at NIC, councils in the Coeur d'Alene School District and elsewhere are counselors at the Coeur d'Alene School District, rather, and elsewhere are beginning to recommend other colleges to their students. If NIC is sanctioned by NWCCU, Sabali said enrollment could drop by as much as 10%. A 1% drop in enrollment represents about $100,000 in tuition revenue. Quote, with the publicity we are getting, we may start seeing that this fall, Sabali said. Well, there's a lot to unpack here.
There is so much to unpack.
Molly, go ahead. What do you got?
I mean, I don't even know where to start because it's like there's so much.
First off, I think let's start with the obvious. I don't think anybody is okay with NIC becoming a white supremacist hub.
I certainly hope not.
And I'm not even sure how that got tied into this.
That's what
I kind of feel like that was out of left field. I don't understand where that's coming from, and I don't really know even how that ties into any of this. While Mr. Banducci is, you know, not being liked by people, I don't think he's ever
absolutely not wanted necessarily the support that I'm aware of the white supremacist.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. So that was kind of out of left field. But speaking of, like, you know what? I'm gonna look at it from this perspective. Like, even stepping away from a second, like. And I'll use a sports analogy on you because I know you like those.
Oh my gosh!
There's a saying in, like, I know it's in hockey, but this can work for everything. When the coach has lost the room or he's lost the locker room, you know, like, even if you're a supporter of Banducci,
right?
Like, when you've got most of your staff saying that they don't want you there,
right?
Like, you've lost the room. Why do you want to work there anyway?
Exactly.
You know, like, it's. It's a situation where your troops or your players or whatever analogy you want.
Right, you've lost them.
You've lost them. They don't support you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not going to listen
to
you.
Right, like, you might have some support elsewhere. Okay.
Maybe, but. I mean, you've got 80, you got nearly 100 staff members that college.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, if no one, again, a sports reference, if no player in the locker room is listening to this coach, it doesn't matter how many fans for the coach.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
If they are not listening, then exactly, you don't have them.
And it's going to – and it's either just going to be, you know, him talking to a wall or they're going to –
Which is almost what this sounds – it sounds like this – it's like, when is this going to end?
I don't know. I would be curious to know because I know that these positions are elected.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested to see when all these people are up for re-election.
Yes.
I know that some are coming up, but I don't believe that Banducci's is. I could be wrong on that. But I know we've read these stories so many times it almost blends together sometimes.
It really does.
That is just a It's not a great... I mean, based on how he handled this meeting, the only thing it sounds like, according to this story, you know, we weren't there. Mm-hmm. You know, letting people, everybody talk, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
You can't just, like, cut them off midstream.
Right.
But that being said, and that's even with me saying, again, I don't know... That might be the strangest thing of this story. Like, I don't know where this white supremacist came from.
Exactly. That threw me for a loop well.
That's very strange. I think of colleges should be like it's all about open knowledge and the pursuit of more information and just making that stuff available.
Exactly.
That's what it should be.
I don't think
colleges shouldn't lean left or right.
They should be
completely
just about knowledge, about learning.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like a library. Like when you go in and you just should be
accessible.
Right,
exactly. You don't walk into a Republican or a Democrat library.
Right, exactly.
You walk into a library for the purpose of gaining more knowledge.
So
that's what a college should be as
maybe,
well.
So maybe if I'm going to take any stance on this at all, I think maybe like we should start looking at this as like what's good for to make a college and not necessarily like make it what can be more conservative or liberal right or
how
left.
How can we make this a good college?
Right. How do we get more
people
to go to the
college? Not a more conservative college, not a more liberal college. Yeah. How can we make this a good college that people want to attend?
I remember.
And now it's looking like people aren't wanting to attend, which is sad.
Right. All of this publicity is just not, regardless of what side of the fence you fall on
exactly. This internal is not strife good is not for going NIC.
No, it's not. And especially if accreditation goes away. That was the main reason I went to NIC was that all my credits could transfer.
Definitely. Yeah.
So
why would
one of the biggest selling points, if the credits don't transfer to University of Idaho or something.
Yeah. Then absolutely
you're going to lose a lot of people.
Definitely. Yeah.
I really hope things just get worked out there. I want what's best for NIC, and I want that college to succeed because it really is a great institution.
It is.
And they've done a lot of good things. It's grown even in the time since I've been there. When I graduated,
definitely.
I graduated in 2013 from
right,
there.
Right,
and it's
grown
a lot since then. Mm-hmm. Like the new rec building, that's so cool. I've walked in there a couple times.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's pretty good for a junior college.
It
so,
really is.
I just hope that this gets sorted out soon.
Sort your stuff out. Yeah. Stop being mean to each other.
Stop being mean.
All right.
Friday, March 25th.
Mission accomplished. This is by Ellie Goldman Hilbert. Students from 7 Post Falls Elementary School successfully carried out the Operation Give Back campaign. Not only did they reach their goal of raising $1,600 to purchase a specialized bicycle for the Idaho State Veterans Home under construction in Post Falls, they doubled that amount, said Principal Kathy Baker, a total of $3,246. Quote, boys and girls and honored guests, we are here to celebrate a mission complete, Baker said in the Greens Ferry Elementary School gym on Tuesday. Baker presented several gifts to representatives of the Veterans Home, including several framed pieces of military-themed student artwork. The custom three-wheel bike has seating for passengers and several storage compartments. Deemed the Blessing Bike, it will be a convenient way for residents to explore the nearby North Idaho Centennial Trail.
The Blessing Bike.
Len Crosby, an Army veteran and member of American Legion Post 154 in Rathdrum, accepted the gifts. Quote, you set a goal and worked hard to achieve that goal, and you were successful. You did not say, that's too hard. You did not say, I'm too little to do that. You have accomplished your mission. Each school took a different approach to raising money. Some had a hat day, where students who brought in any donation could wear a hat to school. Bringing the veterans home to Post Falls has been in the making for 20 years, Crosby said. It took the efforts of many community members to make it happen. Because the fundraiser was so successful, a check was also presented for $1,167.36 to sponsor a residential home at the veterans, or a residential room at the veterans home. The veterans home will feature 64 single occupancy rooms with private bathrooms. Also included in the design are community dining spaces, lounges, and television rooms. The veterans' home is expected to be completed around November. Crosby left students with a few final words of encouragement. Quote, continue to help others. Be kind. Be respectful to your parents and teachers. And stay in school.
Hmm.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Sounds like a thing that everybody could get behind.
You All hope. Right.
What's that?
No. You hope.
Oh.
You would hope.
I mean, you would help, know. Yeah, absolutely. Unless they're in a parade. All right. Moving on. Start, grow, expand, recover. This is by Devin Weeks. The COVID-19 pandemic, in the words of Joel Nanya, N-A-N-I-A, mm-hmm. Nanya, was a, quote, brutal culling of the herd for small businesses. Wow, that's dark but accurate, actually. Quote, some businesses that were not so healthy going in did not come out. Some businesses that were healthy going in didn't come out, said Nanya, who is the Spokane branch office manager for the Small Business Administration. The SBA is a federal entity that was founded in 1953 to help small businesses business owners and entrepreneurs pursue the American dream. Quote, let's strengthen the businesses that have now gotten through the pandemic so that they are stronger, Nanya said. Who knows what the next thing is going to be? We want to make sure those businesses are strong. Businesses. Got to get business done. Are as strong as the as they possibly can be, and we're going to help them grow and get stronger. Nanya spoke during the Hayden Chamber of Commerce's Networking Breakfast and Connection event. Wow. Networking Breakfast and Connection. That's
a lot going on.
Let's throw some stuff in there. Event Thursday morning at the Best Western Plus Coeur d'Alene Inn. He discussed small business pandemic relief, results for the Inland Northwest, and programming that is helping small businesses pick up the post-pandemic pieces. Nanya said, building resilient businesses is the second goal in the SBA's strategic plan. The first is ensuring equitable and customer-centric design and delivery of programs. He said the SBA is doubling down on its efforts to ensure it has equitable distribution and information in multiple languages to anybody who wants to start or grow an existing small business. It sounds like he's going to use a lot of, like, I feel like he uses a lot of business words in his life, like synergy.
Yes.
Quote, Congress never came back to rebuild that program, he said. Personally, I thought that program should have come before anything else because restaurants took the hit, perhaps the worst of any kind of any business. Nanya said $65 billion could have gone much further for restaurant revitalization. Quote, we keep keeping our fingers crossed that maybe Congress will come up with something, he said. It was very helpful for the businesses who got it. The SBA also provided $14.6 billion in shuttered venue operator grants. Quote, those were places with big seating and for promoters of events, because obviously events and performances just went away, Nanya said. He also said he was worried federal pandemic relief funds would not be fairly distributed to his region. Quote, my concern was, are we going to get equal treatment here in the Inland Northwest, Nanya said. I don't know about you guys, but they kind of forgot I'm here. I keep saying Inland Northwest, and they keep thinking that it's in Illinois somewhere. That's accurate. Mm-hmm. He had the SBA create a chart to see how COVID program funds were distributed. For those interested in starting or growing small businesses or contracting with the federal government, the North Idaho Small Business Development Center is a resource on the North Idaho College campus. Quote, if your business isn't all it could be a restaurant and you'd like to cater, it could be interior painting, it could be just about anything. The federal government buys everything, Nanya said. It's one of the biggest consumers of stuff for providers in the world. He said he encourages those interested to contact the Procurement Technical Assistance Center's person in the Small Business Development Center at NIC. He said hundreds of businesses have taken advantage of the SBA loans. A piece of advice he offered for those considering starting or expanding their businesses, ask for assistance. Quote, you don't need to have to be a do-it-yourselfer, he said. So actually, with my experience with the local version here in Shoshone County, the the Economic Development Corporation. You've actually did a story on their new person recently. I learned that, yes, there is a page that, like, if you can look at government contracts, you know, that they're looking for currently.
Right.
That kind of thing is big. And I don't think the federal government is known for necessarily being organized.
Sure.
And I've gone to the page. It's not user-friendly, really.
Okay.
But it's definitely – that it is there. It is there. And government contracts – the feds pay well sometimes, so
that's right.
Yep. All right, let's move on to Shoshone News Press headlines. Friday, March 25th. Molly, what do we got?
Right. So I got to go see this guy called Radical Rick at Canyon Elementary. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Science is fun, as long as nobody gets hurt. Students at Canyon Elementary Science Magnet School had an opportunity to watch the Pacific Northwest's own Radical Rick provide a high-quality, educational, and entertaining assembly Wednesday afternoon. Quote, "My favorite part of the experiments were the explosions," an elementary student exclaimed, and the explosions did not disappoint. Quote, "Today we are going to talk about mixtures and solutions. Who knows the difference between a mixture and a solution?" Rick asked the eager group of students. "In a mixture, we are not changing anything. A solution is where we combine two or more things. It changes and it's much more difficult to separate." To demonstrate a solution, Rick took a bottle of club soda and began shaking it up. "Now what will happen when you shake up the bottle?" "It will explode," the students cheered, and explode it did, as Rick shook the bottle up and sprayed the crowd. Quote, "It's just water. It won't hurt you." Screams and laughter erupted from the students. This is what Rick is good at, not only teaching the students, but also entertaining and showing the enjoyment that one can get from science. Quote, "This assembly was so much fun for the students. Science is meant to be fun, exciting, explorative learning," said principal, teacher, and teacher Jennifer Ferreria. Radical Rick puts an emphasis not only on fun, but also on safety. Quote, "Do I want you ever playing with fire at home? Do I want you to play with fire at a friend's house?" "No!" exclaimed the students. Before demonstrating the reaction of flash paper, he asked the crowd again, "Do I ever want you playing with fire at home?" And a resounding no went through the group as the paper was lit, thrown up into the air, and disappeared. Oh. Other experiments included an exploding Pringles can, an exploding bag of chips, and loud blown-up balloons. CESMS students are currently focusing on physical science in the classroom school-wide, so this was a perfect opportunity to add another aspect. This has been the first year Rick has brought his extreme science to CESMS, and teachers and students are excited for more. Quote, "We are working on additional opportunities to bring him back to Canyon. The kids loved him." This year, the Canyon School Organization supported this event for the students. Funds were raised through the annual ham and turkey dinner and auction, and are what makes events like this possible for Canyon. You can find more about Radical Rick by going to www.extremesciencefun.com or by turning on KHQ Channel 6 News Saturday mornings.
All right.
It was fun. I want to go to more explosive assemblies.
Yes, absolutely.
Bring more science.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Science rules.
Science rules.
Bill.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Bill.
Science
we need a new Bill Nye. Like, they replaced Steve on Blue's Clues. Like, why can't we get a new...
Bill Nye.
We're in the age of reboots. Why can't we get
true
a new Bill Nye the Science
mm-hmm,
Guy?
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, when my teacher would need to grade papers or was... Okay, we were told that. We were probably suffering from a hangover or something. there would be whole science classes where we'd just watch Bill Nye.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yep. Yes.
Your tax dollars at work.
That's right.
mm-hmm. Moving on. County cities receive ARPA funds. Old Wyatt ARPA's back. Next time he's in Shoshone County. He's here to give you some ARPA money. This is by Josh McDonald. As COVID-19 continues to shrink from the collective society, communities all across the country are trying to get to the coveted place of, quote, back to normal as quickly as they can. One of the tools that has been given in order to accomplish this was the Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Recovery Fund Program, or conveniently, CSLFRF, authorized by the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA, A-R-P-A, not to be confused with the AARP.
No.
So many acronyms. ARPA was signed into law just over a year ago in March of 2021 and provided $350 billion in additional funding for state and local governments to combat the various financial consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic. From this came the CSLFRF. Wow. That's such a government acronym, which provides governments across the country with the resources needed to support families and businesses struggling with the economic impacts of the pandemic, while also bolstering and maintaining public services and public health departments. The funds must be used in a way that fit the following criteria. replace lost public sector revenue, respond to the far-reaching public health and negative economic impacts of the pandemic, provide premium pay for essential workers, invest in water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure. While all these entities must figure out how to utilize these funds while still meeting the specific criteria, Shoshone County hired Colleen Rawson as their new grant administrator in November of 2021, and in her new role, she will coordinate with, the use of the county's CSLFRF. Quote, "Woo! We have been given the opportunity to use this one-time pot of monies in a way that will positively affect our communities. We live and work in Shoshone County and have the best understanding of what our community needs truly are," Rawson said. "My ability to focus on outreach and community input gives us the means to maximize the impact of these funds with thoughtful and intentional support for local projects. The role of the grant administrator is to ensure the funds are used in compliance with the regulatory and statutory requirements provided by the United States Department of the Treasury, track funds, and review project funding requests submitted to Shoshone County. The grant administrator will serve as the contact to send project funding requests to the county. Funding requests that follow Treasury guidelines will be evaluated for the highest long-term impact that will align with the local community's needs. Shoshone County was allocated its $2.5 million in two tranches and is asking the community to consider and submit projects to the Grants Office for consideration. All projects will be reviewed for scope, impact, timeliness, and compliance with the Treasury guidance. This is a two-step review process for project requests. For more information or request a project proposal form, email Colleen Rawson at crosson@co.shoshone, that's shoshone.id.us.
All right.
Who couldn't use some more money?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're moving to the Daily Bee.
Yeah, Bonner County Daily Bee at a standpoint.
Excellent. And we have a nice name there, McLaughlin?
McGaughlin?
McCollin. Okie dokie. McCollin, dedicated to education and community. This is by Kathy Hubbard. Casey McCollin told the 60-plus people gathered for the first of two Lake Ponderay School District superintendent interviews that he has had a lifelong interest in education and a desire to be a community unifier. McCollin, who currently holds the position of LPOSD Director of Federal Programs and Assistant Director of Teaching and Learning, talked about his career and that he felt he benefited from having started as a teacher. From teaching in the classroom to being principal at both the elementary and middle school levels, he said his experience has taught him that it's important to have a vision. Quote, "Having a vision means high quality education, high quality student experiences. And it's not just for the students. If our teachers are thriving, our students will thrive as well. It's about clarity. Everyone knows what they're doing. We should do a few things and do them incredibly well." He also talked about his early days at Kootenai Elementary. He said that they went from a group of teachers and administrators who could barely be in the same room with each other to developing a relationship that helped students be the best in the state. Questions from attendees varied, but predictably included questions about top-of-mind concerns from parents, about the whole child approach. McCollin said that he believes that children should understand or that they should learn values at home and or talk at their church, and that schools should teach standards. Quote, "We're not talking about taking the place of parents with strong family values. I believe the percentage of parents that are doing a good job parenting is at 99%. However, he did point out that some children come to school hungry, sometimes are in abusive situations, and some are bullies. About bullies, he said the rule is that no student has the right to stop others from learning, and they have no right to hurt one another. Quote, 99% of students don't vape, 99% of students don't smoke marijuana, but you hear about the students that do. When parents hear everyone is doing it, that's not the reality. More kids are doing right than wrong." When asked about future challenges to the superintendent, McCollin said that he wasn't in favor of asking for higher taxes. "The fact that the district now has a fund balance of 24% buys us time." He said that there are facility issues that need to be addressed, but that will be up to the voters to decide. Regarding masks, mandatory vaccinations, he said that wasn't his role to require them, but it's the district's responsibility to keep students safe. He credited the school board for being proactive. On the subject of critical race theory, he said that Idaho state code doesn't allow it in schools and schools adhere to that code. An interview with the district's second candidate, Becky Meyer, will be held today, Wednesday, So not today. So, but at the Pondere Event Center at 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a reminder that Critical Race Theory is not in Idaho.
Right.
And it's really never even been discussed to be implemented in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
Thursday, March 24th, KBCR, P&Z work together on land use. This is by Anissa Keith. Even in the midst of big changes to county land use commissions, citizen groups continued the conversation on growth and development with the outgoing commission. Although members of the Planning and Zoning Commission held their final meeting last week, they met Tuesday afternoon for a workshop with members from the local grassroots organization Keep Bonner County Rural to discuss their desired change to the land use portion of county code, also known as Title 12. The 200-plus-page document functions as the final word on what can and cannot be built in the county. During the workshop, KBCR collected input from the current Planning and Zoning Commission, Planning Director Milton Allerton, and Deputy Prosecutor Bill Wilson on the precise language of their proposed amendment. KBCR's Title 12 amendment was submitted to the county in November, but has been delayed twice in the weeks leading up to Tuesday's workshop. Quote, the proposed amendment would create stricter standards for justifying changes to current zoning, said Susan Drumheller, I like that name, in a KBCR press release in February. Dave Bowman, chairman of KBCR, also outlined the need for amending the ordinance. Most of the meeting's attendees were county employees or KBCR members. Active discussion regarding the purpose of an official land use map, the role of comprehensive plan, and standards of review dominated the three-hour meeting. KBCR expressed their goal to restrict growth in the county in order to allow planning officials more time to establish county codes that prevent unnecessary growth and boasted the goal of retaining rural characteristics in the county. Okay, you're buying them. Mm-hmm. Even though the word moratorium was frequently thrown around during the meeting, both sides agreed that a freeze on zoning changes would be difficult to legally justify, on top of failing to adequately address the core problem within the growth and development debate. Quote, if everybody's not on board with how this community's supposed to grow, a moratorium is not going to work, Planning and Zoning Commission Chair Brian Bailey said. We've got to come together as a community, not just the community of the county, but the community as including all of the cities. Makes sense.
That does make sense.
Just talking more about growth. I on one hand, I'm all for it as long as it doesn't change what makes the place great.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why everybody's moving up here.
That's true. It's me.
Yeah, there you go.
They heard that I'm in the valley.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Friday, March 25th headlines.
Rachel's recovering after being struck by vehicle. This is by Anissa Keith. A Bonner County man who was struck by a vehicle in the intersection of US 95 and Schweitzer Cutoff Road on March 16th is making strides in his recovery. David Rachels, 19, is making strides at Sacred Heart Medical Center, according to updates his family is posting to an online fundraising website. David was struck by a driver who ran a red light at the busy intersection US 95 and Schweitzer Cutoff Road, blocking traffic for over 2 hours. The driver of the Dodge Ram pickup was uninjured, but Rachel's was seriously injured. Even though he was wearing a full-face motorcycle helmet, he sustained severe internal and external injuries. In addition to multiple broken bones, many of his internal organs were bruised or lacerated from the impact, according to information found on David's Give, Send, Go page, a Christian fundraising platform similar to GoFundMe. David was first taken by ground ambulance to Bonner General Health, where he was sedated due to the severe amount of pain he was experiencing, family members said in a post to the page. Shortly after, he was flown by medical helicopter to Kootenai Health, where he remained for a few hours. After many attempts to stabilize him, David was life-flighted again, this time to Sacred Heart in Spokane. Jessica Rachels, David's mom, said her son is regaining certain motor and bodily functions and is able to communicate through blinking. Quote, today I asked him if he could see and he blinked, and it was just amazing. It's unclear how long David's recovery will take, but the Rachels say they are hopeful that David did not suffer any severe neurological damage despite experiencing a stroke days after the crash. It's been very emotional with all of the giving from the community, Jessica said. The meals, the prayers, financially, we didn't expect that. We just feel so extremely blessed and very grateful. Friends, family, the community, God, our faith is helping us to hang in there. Those interested in donating to the Rachels can do so by visiting their fundraising page at givesendgo.com/DavidRachels.
Sounds like a good cause.
That is a good cause.
Don't, yeah.
Please be careful with motorcyclists, especially it's starting to get warmer weather. Oof. There are going to be many more people. And if you are a motorcyclist, it sounds like this kid, thankfully, was all well suited up. Ooh, make sure you're suited up. Yeah. Me safe, please.
Very true. There, those can be dangerous.
Very dangerous.
All right, moving on. WBCSD announces new superintendent, the Spokane Lob Singer. The West Bonner County School District has selected Dr. Michael Robey, R-O-B-E-Y, as the district's new superintendent. He will succeed current superintendent Paul Anselmo when he retires in July. Well, I like saying Anselmo's name. Robey was one of five finalists announced for the position who were invited to speak to the public in a series of question and answer sessions. Robey said he is excited to have been selected by the board as the district's next superintendent and can't wait to work with the community, its students, and its teachers. Quote, I am honored and humbled to have been selected as the next superintendent for the West Bonner community and will strive to help create a better future for children by improving opportunities, serving students, supporting staff, and connecting with the community, Robey said. Robey brings significant experience in leadership and education, West Bonner officials said. In addition to a 15-year teaching career, Robey has been a school technology director, principal, assistant superintendent, and assistant regional superintendent. Schools under his supervision have won numerous academic, financial, and organizational awards, they said in a press release. Robey completed the doctoral program in education, leadership, and administration from Loyal University. Prior, he earned a master's of education degree from National Lewis University and a bachelor's of education degree from Northern Illinois University. West Bonner County School Board trustee said Robey is a great fit for the district and will be a great asset to the community. Quote, Though change is not always comfortable, I am confident Michael's demonstrated leadership skills and passion to serve all students will guide our success as a district to meet the challenges we face, Margaret Hall, WBCSD board chairperson, said. Woo! Robey begins his new role on July 1st, pending contract. Board trustees said they wanted to thank Anselmo for his service to the community and his, quote, incredible efforts over the last 8 years serving as superintendent and to wish him well on his new endeavors. All right, well.
Excellent.
Here's hoping that he does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's push north. Bonner's Ferry Herald.
House Bill 666 prompts debate.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Boundary County Library Director Kimber Glidden said she is concerned there may be a censorship campaign in the county in favor of House Bill 666. The bill, which would remove library and other institution exemptions from disseminating material. Disseminating?
Disseminating.
Thank you. Material harmful to minors could put public servants, like librarians, in legal trouble for defending patrons' First Amendment rights. At the March 17th Boundary County Library Board meeting, resident Adrian Norris spoke in favor of HB 666 during public comment. Quote, I wish that the library would quit hiding behind an exemption law and start taking action to ensure a safe place. If the library would take some minor steps in keeping these materials out of young people's hands, then the state of Idaho wouldn't have to make laws to remove your exemption. Quote, as a community, we should come together and try to figure out how everyone feels safe, especially when we're all paying taxes and we all want to enjoy this public space. Glidden said that this is a modern-day witch hunt. Mm. The big issue is that there is a push from residents to prevent children from checking out materials on their own. And further, there is a push from some residents to prevent children from having full access to all materials in the library, and they want library officials to police it. Glidden said that if a preteen came to check out The Kite Runner, which has dark themes including rape, people in support of HB 666 would expect librarians to tell the children they can't check out the book. Quote, that is 100% against the Constitution. It says children and young adults unquestionably possess First Amendment rights, including the right to receive information through the library in print, sound, images, data, social media, online applications, games, technology, programming, and other formats, Glidden said. ALA officials added that constitutionally protected speech cannot be suppressed solely to protect children or young adults from ideas or images that others or a legislative body believes to be unsuitable for them. Norris also questioned what library staff would do if a 9-year-old tried to rent an R-rated movie. Glidden said, due to the child's First Amendment rights, she cannot deny the child. Quote, it is not my job to say to that kid, you can't check this movie out. So if you are a parent and you don't want a kid to have that access, then please remove their name from the account. And then we would not check out any materials to them. In response to Norris and others who have wanted to add notes to their account on what their child can and can't check out, Glidden said the library will not be doing that. Quote, we cannot put that on librarians to decide what is appropriate and what is it. It is all or nothing, she said. Either parents let their children check out books at the library, or they do not. The library cannot enforce an age limit, nor can they choose who they can and can't access material. Both would be discriminatory. If parents do not want their child to check out materials without their consent, they can remove the child's name from the library card, Glidden said. This would require that a parent is with the child when materials are checked out. For the librarian to choose what can be read is irresponsible, Glidden said. Books that she may consider uninteresting may be the one thing at the end of the day that someone finds comfort in. On March 7th, HB 666 was approved in the House 51-14. 5 representatives were absent. Every North Idaho legislator voted in favor of the bill except Republican Paul Amador from Coeur d'Alene, who was among those absent. The bill's first reading in the Senate was March 8th. Then it was referred to the Senate Affairs Committee. No action has occurred since then. Senate President Pro Tem Chuck Winder has told reports that the bill will not be heard in the Senate.
Okay, so before we even start talking about this, it sounds like this is all doesn't mean anything because it's not going to even be heard in the Senate.
It's not going to be heard
so
in the Senate.
This argument means nothing, but let's talk about it anyway.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the show. Might as well.
I agree.
Well, back on this.
Yeah, I completely agree. Librarians, that's not their job.
Right.
That is not their job.
I feel like, and stop me if you've heard me say this on the show before, but I feel like there's some sort of, like, middle ground solution here.
Yes.
Where, like, I'm not opposed. Like, if a community comes together and says, like, okay, this material, you know, it should be more of adult. Like, if it's, say, for example, a rated R, okay? Let's make a rated R section. Like, these are rated R movies.
Right.
Like, it's clearly defined. It's not, like, mixed in with, you know, like, a kids section or whatever. Mm-hmm. All that's. But that being said, like, you're right. It's not the parents' responsibility to do that. Libraries aren't daycares where you can just drop your kids off and
right,
leave all day.
And just leave them, yeah.
Like, and you need, I think that responsibility falls onto a parent to ensure what their child is looking at.
Definitely.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Like, it's not on, if a kid is at the library looking up inappropriate things, that's not on the librarian.
Here's a simple solution for this, and I'll use both the examples I just made. So, say the library has created, like, these books or these movies or whatever the form of content is, you know, there's an adult section or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a parent walks in, goes to their kid, say, hey, don't go to the adult section.
Sure.
We now have the parent telling the kid what they can and cannot do, and the section is clearly labeled, so it's not misconstrued with something else.
Right,
It sounds like a win-win to me. I feel like that's a simple solution.
I think it would be difficult somewhat to determine what book, like The Kite Runner. I would not consider The Kite Runner an adult book necessarily, but it does have adult themes, so I think that's a good first kind of idea.
Sure. Do books?
It's not that easy,
and
though.
With your education, like, background, you know a little more. Do books have, like, rating systems like movies do?
Not as much, like, no.
Not like a set, like, G, PG, no, PG-13?
No.
No? Okay.
Not, I mean, there's things, like, online you can, you know, but it's not, like, a regulated, like, movies
okay.
are.
Okay, gotcha.
Right, because even, like, a young adult book that could have thematic, The Outsiders, sure. I would teach
I was
in my classroom.
Hunger Games.
Okay, see, now that,
like, where to you, where does that fall?
Right. I
know it was written toward, it was actually written toward, like, older, younger adults.
It was, right.
But it gained popularity
with. Would I necessarily find that appropriate to read in a classroom, even a high school classroom? No. I would agree that is different in my, and again, that's my opinion. That's
sure.
different than, for
right.
example, the outsiders.
Yeah.
It is subjective, exactly.
And I've read, and that's the part where you're just the parent at the end of the librarian can't make that decision for you.
And that's what this woman is saying. Yeah, she's like, what is.
If a community comes together and says, like, these books are adult, then
sure
put them in the adult section. I'm okay with that.
Yes.
Like, that's the community.
50 Shades of Grey. Yes, that's
adult,
a perfect example of, yes, this is obviously
yes.
an adult book.
Yep.
Anyone under 18
yep.
shouldn't necessarily need to read this
sure.
book.
Sure.
Yes, we can put that in the adult
section. Or even just like maybe a disclaimer of, like, this book has adult themes.
Yes.
Like,
right.
there's something
well,
like
they
that.
Talked about, right, The Kite Runner. Yes, it has... the theme of rape.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So
And
you know what? That's usually the middle ground that we have on. The first thing that I thought about when I thought of disclaimer is like food. You know,
sure.
like didn't I told you recently, like there's an
right.
energy drink that goes into a particular beverage that we like down in Moscow.
yes.
That apparently might have arsenic in it. Okay. There's a warning label on it.
Yes, there is.
We have been warned.
Yep.
So if we drink it, that's on us.
That's on us.
There.
That's a good point. Yes. If the kid picks up this book with the exclamation there and if the parent
and the
is
parent,
there,
yep.
then it's like, okay, well, you knew.
Right. It's not the librarian's job to smack the book out of the kid's hand.
No, exactly.
Yep, I'm with you on that. And we can't even go more extreme of like, well, because I know I can hear somebody saying like, well, just get rid of the book. Well, then you're...
No,
then we're getting to a really
then we're getting to banned books, right.
Yeah.
Do we just burn all of the books that we don't like?
Can't burn the
you
books.
You won't like me burning books that I don't like.
But going back to like the subject, I understand that... Like that take is very subjective. Like
it is.
One of the books that I got away with reading in school, but I could definitely understand why somebody would be against it was All Quiet on the Western Front.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like there's terms of like it. I mean, it's a gritty look at war.
Sure.
It's
sure.
definitely not like if it was made into well, I think All Quiet on the Western Front was made into a movie. But like, I mean, it shows a. grim depiction of war
mm-hmm.
and some and there's a instance of sexual conduct and conduct in there as well,
right?
Albeit minor, it's a very minor part of the book, but it's there,
right? But again, it's the context. Like, for example, we were talking about adult or like cartoons. My
yeah.
parents, Josh's parents, didn't allow us to watch
yes
Simpsons, King of the Hill, your dad
right.
thought it was fun, which,
yeah.
and that it happened, like,
sure.
exactly, where one parent's going to be like, no,
sure.
absolutely not,
right. Right.
this has these certain themes, another parent's going to be like,
so, and I think that's where the disclaimer comes in. I think that solves everything, you
mm-hmm.
know, like, I think that's the perfect middle ground solution
mm-hmm.
on that, is like, yes, if enough people...
And I think,
like,
right, it's kind of a community thing.
Sure.
Community almost... It can't just
yes.
be one person
right.
like, well, I think
yep.
this.
Yep.
I think we shouldn't read
yep.
Anne Frank. Like,
yep.
no, okay, let's... Yeah.
I'll say Anne Frank. I mean, that's a pretty dark
it's
book,
It's another
too.
Dark book, too.
Very
and it does have sexual
too.
Themes.
Yes, it does. So
yes.
it just depends on your perspective on it. And I don't know. On one hand, I understand the parents' right to be able to go in and make those decisions.
Yes.
But on the other hand, just my own personal belief, like, more information to me is never a bad thing.
True. No, I think providing more information
about the books.
Because
when you have more information, you can make a better informed decision
yes.
about anything in your life.
Yes.
So I'm never going to argue against education and
right and knowledge. Well, like we talked about, right? Libraries shouldn't be left or right. It should just be a place to obtain.
This is a dispensary
knowledge.
Of knowledge.
Yes.
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 What you do with it
is.
That's on you.
Exactly.
And don't tell. Yeah, the library is just they're Switzerland. They're neutral on that.
Yes.
That's, I mean, at least that to me, that's how it should be. Anyway.
I agree. Yes. And if you don't want your kids reading certain books, then that's, I feel like, a parent.
That's on you.
That's on the parent.
That's on you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
you've got the right to do that.
You do have the right to. Yeah. My parents did have the right to tell me, no, you can't watch The Simpsons. You can't
right.
watch King of the Hill
yep.
as a kid. That
yep.
was their right. That's what they felt was right.
Yep.
Okay, fine. Like,
you turned out okay.
I did. I turned out okay.
They're not all right. Yeah, like, it's okay. Like,
I might have been, I probably would be better if I had watched Simpsons and King of the Hill growing up, but, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, yeah.
you can now, so there you go.
That's, I have watched them now, so, well, there you go.
There it is.
That's why I'm fine.
Once again, we'd like to thank Black Sheep for sponsoring this episode, home of the lowest prices on all things outdoor since 1975. Black Sheep Sporting Goods is your one-stop shop for all your camping, fishing, and hunting and clothing needs. Open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Check out Black Sheep's new location in the Silver Lake Mall. Be sure to also check out www.blacksheepidaho.com and receive free shipping over on orders over $100. Black Sheep Sporting Goods, celebrating 45 years as your favorite sporting goods store. Molly, that's it.
That's it.
We are done for the week.
Heck yeah.
I'm gonna enjoy the weekend.
Go into the weekend.
Yes.
Gonna work at radio.
Oh, yeah, you are. You're gonna go work at radio. I'm gonna do a little work for Mad Bomber, too.
There you go. Nowadays,
everybody's got two jobs, right?
You gotta.
Especially living in North Idaho.
Seriously.
It's a problem.
That's a topic for a no. We could go off. On the housing crisis. We will not start
Tuesday,
on that.
So on Tuesday, we will be coming at you with the housing crisis.
So please, tune in for that. Have a wonderful weekend.
So good. thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it. Please like, comment, and share all of our stuff on social media. If you're interested in the stories we talked about today or the ones we did not, check us out at www.cdapress.com, shoshonnewspress.com, bondercountydailyb.com, or thebonusfairherald.com. Even listen to us on a podcatcher or an app like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Player FM. We're on a lot of them. We're just not on YouTube. It's the only thing. We're working on it. Please subscribe to us or give us a like or a follow so you can get every episode as soon as it comes out. And go jump over to the North Idaho Now Facebook page and give us a like and follow on there so you can see all the fun stuff we post on there. All right, everybody.
All right.
That's it.
Bye.
See you later.